Welcome to the 5G Techventory podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in 5G with some of the industry's leading minds.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Artis. And welcome, everybody. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to those watching online as well. Today, we will be discussing the very exciting and very interesting topic of 5G and 6G connectivity, but from the sky, so the business model of satellite. And I'm particularly pleased to be discussing this topic because I wanted, along with the organizers, to bring a little bit more focus to satellite technology specifically in this year's conference. So get ready for your questions, and we will make sure to answer them. So, just to begin with, when we think of satellites, what do most people think of immediately? Is it, you know, satellite TV from maybe a couple of decades ago? Is it disaster relief? Is it satellite phones for adventure travelers? I mean, all these are legitimate uses, but they represent only a very small section of the array of solutions that satellite technologies can provide today and do. So traditionally, there's been quite a strong separation between the satellite, the non-terrestrial, and then the terrestrial networks. However, recent developments, which we will talk about, have shown that satellite has a huge role to play in the future of connectivity. In this panel discussion, we will explore what evolution is needed in both standards and technology models, and what positive examples there are already, and actually, if there is one perfect business model for satellite connectivity. I know there are a different number of topics that the speakers want to discuss, but one question I would like to pose from the outset and maybe to be answered either, you know, in your introductory remarks or at any point in the discussion as well, is this. So 5G aims to be a heterogeneous network incorporating multiple platforms to achieve optimal coverage and performance, and it's very likely that 6G will follow in the same path. However, there is no current use of connectivity from the skies in Europe to deliver the full 5G and 6G vision. And there are a number of new existing satellite provider services that include new innovations like emergency messaging solutions provided by satellite. The questions are, why is there such a resurgence of activity and attention to satellite now? Will it finally lead to a world where connectivity from the skies is routine, maybe for all cell phones? And most importantly, can this deliver 100% landmass coverage in Europe? Let's start with Europe, and then maybe we'll go global as well. So allow me to introduce the panel first, and then we'll kick into the discussions. Dr. Polizouis, or Zouis Kokonis, is the Future Programs Officer at the European Space Agency, ESA, where he actively engages with space innovation ecosystems and fosters collaborations beyond the traditional space sector. Then Thomas Rozenski is a senior researcher and the lead on European engagement at the European Space Policy Institute, ESPI, which is the European think tank for space. And Natalia Vicente is the vice president of public affairs at the Global Satellite Operators Association, GSOA. In this role, she collaborates closely with member companies to lead high-level advocacy efforts for the satellite communication sector more generally. So, the introductory remarks are, you know, up to 5 minutes each, and please also maybe explain a little bit more about the innovations that you do and your daily work, because I could never do you justice. And then we can come back to the questions I posed, anything else you would like to cover. If, and we will very likely run out of time in the introductory remarks, we can always pick up in the Q&A after. And audience members, please start prepping your questions, and the same for the online participants. So let's go in this order, and Zouis, if you would like to kick off.
Okay. I would like to take your question or your thought, which is, why are we talking about this topic now? I joined the 5G Territory last year, and satellite was not mentioned. Today, I've heard about this in, I think, three or four different panels. So it is a time where satellite connectivity in the context of integration with the 5G or as an evolution to 6G is something which is in the vision of various stakeholders in this aspect. And when I say various stakeholders, it is in the scope of what mobile network operators are thinking, what satellite operators are thinking, what vendors are thinking, and what users of that are thinking. So in order for this to proceed, you need technology and you need also the reason for that. If somebody would ask the question very blandly with do we need satellite connectivity or does it achieve that? And the question, it is a closed question and it's too limited to provide a reasonable answer. The same is if you say, can we do it? Again, the question is closed and you do not provide a reasonable answer. But if you go into more depth and say, why do we need it? What will be the achievement? Then you start describing the use cases, describing the needs, which are expressed from different stakeholders, different verticals, different industry verticals that need connectivity much more than they did in the past. And on the other side, if you are asking, can we do it? It's again a complicated question. We have indications. So everybody knows that you have, for example, TV broadcast from the sky or what you explained before with a phone. But is it at the scale that we need? This is where we need the technology evolution. And the steps in this direction are already there. So we have proof points that it is working in basic concepts. And we need to evolve the technology and achieve that. And Europe has a role to play, and I would say in different directions. Europe does not only need to have the satellite capabilities as Europe to serve their own market and needs, but Europe also needs to ensure that the European industry is at the technology level, preserves the know-how and the competences that are needed to keep the European space industry competitive worldwide. That would be shortly my statement. So.
Great, thank you. Thomas, what are your thoughts?
First of all, I would also reiterate what both of you have mentioned, which was also for me a quite a fascinating observation, was the fact that this was supposed to be the space battle of this conference was nicely put into the contrast how the relevance, significance, the added value of satellites were mentioned in the other panels. And I think this is exactly what, maybe looking at this from the space sector perspective, this is exactly what this community appreciates to hear. I would argue that we often, and this is not linked, this is not related only to satellite communications, but also to other applications of space technologies, we very often come with our own pre-excitement and conviction that what the sector produces variety of technologies and innovations is some kind of self-explanatory and finds its success in the world. But only when you're confronted with the reality, such as when you perhaps put satellite-enabled connectivity in some kind of competitive perspective next to terrestrial, you will realize that maybe this is not so self-explanatory and it may be losing its ground. And the fact that stakeholders from different segments, I can specifically underline the defense panel previously today, which brought it up. I think that stakeholders coming from these segments underlining the importance of satellite-enabled connectivity is something where, if we maybe look at this topic in a retrospective fashion, I think this is something which has advanced, and I think that's a positive trend for both worlds, if I may to put it like that. And maybe to bring just one interesting example where I sincerely believe that space can evolve to in the realm of telecommunications is some of the successful examples of space for other economic sectors or for other policy domains. And if you look at other application areas such as satellite navigation or Earth observation, they have fully revolutionized activities that we collectively do as humankind. For instance, the satellite revolutionized and transformed how we do meteorology. Today, global meteorology observations are unthinkable in terms of the effectiveness, accuracy, precision, and reliability without integrating satellite data. The same goes for transportation, where the integration of PNT enabled by space systems have just changed the way how we do things. We can ask the question if we are there in communications, in connectivity. I'm not sure personally, but it just comes from maybe the lack of my experience, and there are other experts in the panel that can assess them better than me. But I believe that the latest trends that which we have seen in both in terms of the business models that are currently being put in place that we have not heard so much before, such as direct to device, or some standardization developments such as the one within the 3GPP in the recent period, for me are signals that that what other satellite applications have enabled in other economic sectors and public policies, I think these recent developments are showing that we are on the same pathway in the connectivity realm.
Great, thank you very much. And Natalia, what's top of mind for Jasoa and your members and yourself?
So indeed, let me just start, in case someone is not very familiar with the association, Global Satellite Operators Association, GSOA. We are an international association and we represent 70 members that are from the satellite industry at large. They are from GEO to LEO to MEO satellite operators, but we also have launchers, we also have vendors, we also have ground segments. So it's really a representation of the satellite industry. And why do I make a specific emphasis on this is because I think our association represents very much the ecosystem that we have now. Complex, rich, full of opportunities and full of big discussions, of course, but full of a strategic vision of what the future of connectivity looks like. No? And I think the question that you asked us, it's very much on point. I mean, everyone has satellite in their thoughts now. Everyone is talking all the time about satellites, but not only here. I'm sure all of you with your friends and family, someone has something to say about satellites also now, while a few years ago, no one even knew what a satellite was. No? And I think this is because everything has gotten to a point in which the mindset of the policymakers has changed. They have realized that no one technology is going to achieve to connect everyone, to bring meaningful connectivity everywhere. But I also think that the terrestrial sector has understood that satellite is only an extension or can provide more for their businesses, and it's not only competition, but it's more like what can we do together, what can we do in different markets, and how can we evolve. And then I also think that the satellite innovation is in an unprecedented moment. I think with the new systems, with the innovation in the GEO systems, in the LEO systems, this has a clear impact on how can we do business, no? So I think both all of these things have come together, no? We have the technology part, but we have also the policy side. During the last two decades, we have clearly understood that connectivity is important, but still, it took a pandemic to realize how important for education, for health, for working. I mean, we have today people connected online and this could not have happened 10 years ago. And I think all these things make us realize that we cannot continue in the same path. Still 2.6 billion of people is unconnected. So I think it's very important that while we talk about 5G and 6G, we still consider and see how these people that is unconnected or in remote areas can be part of this digital evolution. No? And I think to this comes all this part of the before 5G, during 5G and after 5G. We always said that before 5G, satellite would interoperate with terrestrial networks, with terrestrial networks. During 5G is the integration, and in 6G is very much to start from the beginning with all the technologies in mind, not to add on afterwards. No? And I think this is where we need to arrive to really become that network of networks. At the end of the day, we just need to deliver the service. And I think that's where we come into this satellite is necessary because we have the reach, we have the resilience, we have certain characteristics that are needed for the future of connectivity that we all want. And we should not only think about connectivity because of the phone and what we have in terms of entertainment, but we really need to think of connectivity when we talk about disasters, but when we talk also about efficient use of water so that the fields are watered without extra use of it, and this has an impact on climate change. How do we use the electric grids? And all of that needs connectivity, and in general, it's in places where there's no connectivity. So connectivity is at the basis of all the services that come afterwards. And I think that's why satellite has become so trendy.
Great, thank you very much. A number of topics which you also just summarized. So business models, technology models, policy, regulation, all of these things we should be talking about. But to kick us off, a question for Zoe is, what is the main business value of satellite connectivity for the vertical industries? So for automotive, maritime, for agriculture, and then we'll touch upon the other issues.
Most of the verticals are in a transition, what somebody would call a digital transformation. And it means that value in these verticals, in these businesses, is transforming from material to digital. They get a lot of value from additional digital services which are integrated in their business models. Now, you cannot have these digital services without connectivity. And the connectivity needs to expand in where you operate, in where your customers, in where your suppliers are operating. That means everybody will benefit from a situation where you have connected capabilities that allow you to perform and benefit from the digital services which are linked to your products. And this is valid for automotive, for transportation, for energy, for everybody. The challenge is that it is not very easy to define upfront what exactly you need from the use case. If you take, for example, the evolution of mobile networks were offering, started offering voice services in a very limited approach. Then they moved to offer digital capabilities and internet. The first versions of mobile phone did not offer an interesting approach to internet. And now you're moving to more data-intensive services. So you have an evolution of the capabilities and the needs. If somebody would be asking in the beginning of the century, do you need to have video calls on your mobile phone? Everybody would ask, probably not. But now everybody is using it. So you need to have this balancing approach. And that means practically that technology evolution and offering from the companies that do this offering need to go hand in hand with the evolution of the needs and to trigger the needs and the benefit for the ones that are using it. So this is how I assume that this will work. This is where they see the value. And the value is, the need for this is expressed explicitly from various industries. So for example, the 5G Automotive Association expressed the need that in order to address the needs of automotive in the 2030s, they would need to include non-terrestrial capabilities in the network offering. Same goes for, okay, maritime is quite obvious, but a lot of businesses are operating in areas which do not have connectivity or which do not have adequate connectivity. And we are not necessarily talking about satellite being an alternative, and I think Natalia put this very correctly. We're not talking about an alternative, we're talking about an integrated system.
Absolutely. And building on that, well, Natalia, I was going to ask, is the sort of non-terrestrial, terrestrial a competition or a collaboration? But I think you mentioned it's a collaboration in your opening remarks. But then to go a little bit more deeply, so what is needed to make the non-terrestrial and terrestrial integration a success?
So I think it's a very interesting question. And I think I've been years saying we need just more collaboration and an open spirit at the end of the day, you know? To have these discussions, I think, is key to understand each other more than anything else. I think the integration or the discussions go in different levels again. There is a big conversation ongoing in the standards field. We have 3GPP, we have Release 17 and Release 18. That has been milestones, I would say, into what it means to collaborate when it came to the 3GPP discussions. But just last week, I was also in another conversation of NTN-TN integration. It has become almost current vocabulary to talk about NTN-TN integration. And I think now we are more on that part of let's put our hands together and start doing projects and start testing. I think one important thing will always be, and specifically now, let's try things, and even if they don't work, let's try something a little bit different, or let's try again. I think we are maybe in a moment, but also I think the satellite industry, it's very much wanting to deliver, and there is a very big judgment if it's not correctly done the first time. So it's difficult to maybe, let's say, fail and then succeed. But we need to try things. There needs to be testings and see what works better. And I think we're in that moment of, let's work NTN and TN together. There's some projects with 5G. Let's continue doing that. And I think that's the only way to succeed. I mean, we need to try and deliver different services, try to see what works, and from there on, we can succeed.
Okay, thank you. And Thomas, now turning to policy, one of my favorite topics. What policies or regulation are needed? So at what level? Are we talking spectrum policies? Are we talking standards? Are we talking European legislation? Or maybe, you know, softer initiatives like the digital decade? What is your view?
Well, it's certainly all of those things that you've mentioned. And in fact, the way that you put it actually speaks about like the complexity of the topic also at the public policy level. And you can complement it with few. I mean, you mentioned the notion of regulations where spectrum comes into play, where problems of safety and sustainability of the space sector itself come into play. So this is one segment of it. There is a role for the public in this kind of, I would argue, early stage support. Space sector is notoriously known for kind of still having the majority of its investment feeding into the sector coming from the public sources, and you can certainly look at that also from a negative way. How is that sector economically viable if it's basically kept alive by the public funding? That's a valid perspective to look at. But this is how space sector has operated. The interest that has been also mentioned specifically in this topic from wireless, as you mentioned, I guess that's a sign from the automotive. This is a sign which I think space sector needs and wants to see. But that kind of prominence of public investment is also certainly in the space sector, maybe not in the connectivity realm, creating some specific benefits or enabling the creation of some businesses. And not only in Europe, also elsewhere in the world, there are success stories of companies in the space sector which have been strongly supported, maybe even through an extensive public funding in those early stages, if not in funding, then in various other forms of support that public can give to private, that sustain the difficult early stages and enable the growth even in other segments of activity that can kind of spill over to connectivity. So that's one other example which we can bring forward. And maybe again another example, and I would conclude there with this ideation, would be the kind of a recognition of space technologies in the broader policymaking community beyond the space sector, and even in among the citizens. So I think Natalia, you mentioned briefly how you see there is a growing awareness among the policymakers that. What about the added value of what space can achieve? And we can still, I would say, find a significant improvement there. And what I have in mind there is that if you look at, okay, we're in Europe. So if you look at national strategies of different states and European or strategies at European level that are not space, that are maybe from other segments of human activity, I think that the presence, the acknowledgement, or the recognition of the added value that space provides is still lower than what it can be. So the role of us, with us now I mean people in the space sector, is actually to go out of our own bubble. At national policymaking level, it's nice if you have something in your space strategy as a recognized thing, but if that requires interaction, interface with other policies, if you don't do the other part of that homework and do even bottom-up or top-down approach from that other policy domain, I think it will lose the impact that it may have in the longer term. So, my personal example that coming from a CEE country is a very plain. You bring up the notion of space, and what you get and in as a reaction is still something that is luxurious, that something that you don't need, that is a playground of the billionaires. And this is not the case. But eventually, you know, the policy in a democratic systems listens to the electorate. And so even though it is improving, and I fully agree with that statement, I think that recognition of the added value of space, we can still support and we can still kind of do much more work in this outward dimension, making sure that it's not about the space policies and strategies, but the recognition of space in sectorial strategies and policies.
And I think also the recognition that space and satellite play a vital role as part of the other multi-technological aspects, both in policy and in business models. But it is a very big topic, so maybe just coming back on the recognition of space. So as Natalia, would you also like to comment on the policy angle?
And I think you're very right. I think we've gone far in the policy side, but I think there's still a lot to do for sure. And I think one of the points is also very important that nationally, when countries are planning the digital strategies, they have satellite in their mind. It's not just, again, that technology that may be, or in many cases, it's even awareness about the possibilities and the added value that satellite can bring to the table for all the different policy topics on the agenda, no? I think it is very important because of all the innovation that's happening, and who knows where we will be in 5 years' time or in 10 years' time, is that the policymakers consider that anything that they do now has to be future-proof, has to be flexible, but also that we feel in an environment that we can invest. Satellite is also an industry that is investing large amounts of money on this innovation. And of course, and I cannot not talk about spectrum a little bit, but of course in a year like this year, it is important that when we think about policy, it's also something that the industry feels that it's gonna guarantee that safe space to continue investing, to continue innovating, spectrum being one of the matters, but any other digital strategy that supports and emphasizes or fosters that innovation to continue happening. So I think apart from the collaboration that is happening between the terrestrial and non-terrestrial sector, there has to be a continuous exchange between the public and the private sector to ensure that this innovation goes hand in hand with the necessary framework that allows it to happen.
Zois, any comments?
So, touching the policy a little bit from ESA side, which is an innovation agency, and taking the spectrum as an example, I think we need to recognize that regulations and policy approaches take somehow a technology level and an understanding level and a capabilities level for granted. And this is not always correct, because technology evolves. So what we need to ensure is that we try out, we find out what are the technology limits, because if we take spectrum, there is one aspect which we cannot violate, which are the laws of physics. But what we do inside the laws of physics depends very much on our capability of monitoring spectrum usage, of pinpointing how we use spectrum, of clever strategies, how to use spectrum. And this needs to be introduced. This requires a lot of innovation, a lot of experimentation, so that we define the models, so that we find out how can we best exploit the capabilities that we have. And based on that, we need evolving policies, and this requires a collaboration. But one point that Natalia and also you posed is that the regulations are providing to the ones that are investing and are stakeholders, not necessarily investing money, but are investing also their approach and their strategies on that. And they need some stable ground on which they operate. That is why we need to have this hand in hand. And that is why we require the collaboration among everybody. What I think was interesting in your statement about, for example, the space being very much government driven, and if we go a few years back, the mobile network and the fixed network was not private. Most of the countries laid out the network infrastructure as a public infrastructure. So these are things that are evolving, and this is how policy should be adapting to what are the needs, what is the evolution, and what our technology can offer. That is why we cannot isolate one aspect from the other. We need to have them working hand in hand, and this discussion is the right approach for that, I believe.
So there are a couple of other issues I'd like to explore, but maybe now is a good time to see if there are any questions from the audience here, or maybe Artis, you can help me if there's any questions online.
Yes, there's one question online, but first hand goes to the audience. If there are any questions, please do raise your hand. Bidding starts now. 3, 2, 1, sold to the online customer that we have here. And her question is, how can satellite connectivity be effectively integrated with existing 4G and 5G networks to provide ubiquitous coverage, especially in rural or remote areas where terrestrial infrastructure is limited?
Who would like to start, Natalia?
I may take the question, but I know that my co-panelists can also answer a lot. I think it's important to understand that satellite is already there in many cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a backhaul in services of satellite, and for me, it's one of the, it's kind of magic, no? You as a user or as a consumer, you don't really know where you are connected, but in many cases, 4G is backhauled by satellite. Even if we don't notice. And I think, I know that the case is the same for 5G, and there's different projects here in Europe also that are backhauled by satellite. And I think when we talk about the integration, indeed, all the work that is being done under the 3GPP standards and all the different initiatives that are under the Release 17, but also different work, is precisely to have that smooth and seamless integration to indeed ensure the ubiquitous connectivity that I think is what we are all aiming for. It's not just connecting the urban areas where population lives, but if we talk about Europe, there's still a 7% that is unconnected, and it's because there's citizens that live in other places. So it's not about the quantity of people connected, it's also about the area connected, and we cannot determine that one person is more relevant than the other. Everyone should be part of the digitalization, or at least have the opportunity for it, especially when we have the technology to deliver it.
Any additional comments?
No, I think it's covered, and I think there are multiple ways to achieve it, depending on what exactly you need to do and what is the configuration. And that is what I said in the beginning. If you just ask, can we do it? It is, the answer is, in principle, yes. But we need to go into more detail to understand what exactly is to be done. So
while we're on the topic of the different generations of connectivity, a question I think has slightly different views, especially when we chatted before the panel. Was 5G a success, or perhaps not quite what we were expecting overall, but also as far as satellite is concerned? And then also, can greater inclusion of satellite help to address some of those issues we faced when rolling out 5G, when we now look at 6G? Who would like to start?
Oh. I think this is an interesting topic, and it depends on what we were expecting with 5G.
Success, which, overwhelming success.
Well, 5G, at least to my perception, was not meant to provide better connectivity for mobile phones. It was a technology that was addressing different verticals and was meant to address non-humans connected to the network, which was up to 4G something not considered. So in that sense, 5G brought in the components, and this is currently in the rollout. Now, in order for a connectivity technology, connectivity is an enabler. It's not an asset in itself. That means that you need some time to see the benefits for that, and probably you would not necessarily attribute that to technology. If you take a technology evolution that you're using a few key technologies in there, but you do not recognize each one of them. You just recognize the integration. And this is, I think, the case for 5G and will be probably for 6G. Now, satellite can definitely help, especially if we consider it in the beginning and we do not see this as something which is coming as an add-on. So you do not separate it, and this is exactly the approach in 3GPP. So the first considerations for satellite were introduced in Release 17, the first aspects. Release 18 introduces more capabilities, and in Release 19, we hope that there are the right studies proposals are already there in the 3GPP standardization, so that this is something that evolves. 6G would have non-terrestrial networks as an integral part, so that we're practically not deploying networks on a surface, but on a three-dimensional space.
I would echo maybe just this one perspective that you highlighted about the enabling function. I think, again, if I use the broader space sector example, it's also what we have maybe seen in other segments of the space sector, where an activity, an initiative creates benefits that I wouldn't say were unexpected, but maybe to some extent were not foreseen to be as impactful as they are in some science mission, in some Earth observation things. And the example, the way how you discussed it just a minute ago, exactly made me think about the same way that, that eventually the forecasting aspect is so difficult to do in these enabling technologies that you often only see the demand evolving as the technology evolves in itself. And that, therefore, my question would be, I would not probably consider is a success or a non-success, but still it would be an element of like too early to tell, as you have right after the election sometimes, it's difficult to estimate it right now, just because it evolves only as it starts being kind of fully operational.
And I think if I may just add, I think it's learning progress also, and it's what has worked, what hasn't worked, how can we do it better? I think there's certain milestones, as we said, that clearly determine that satellite is part of the equation. 5G was always thought to be a network of networks. Have we achieved that, or will it be in the next step? And maybe yes, when we are thinking that satellites should be part since the beginning from the discussion. But I think it's all is part of this technology evolution. How can we determine until when do we decide if it has been a success or not? It's evolving, it's changing, we learn. We innovate even more, and we continue the process. No, so I think it's difficult to judge. I think we've advanced a lot, and I think for satellite, this has been the discussion that needed to happen. We knocked in all the doors possible, continuing and repeating that 5G was supposed to be a network of networks. I hope that 6G will not fail or will not go back into that. And I think Release 18 is part of that, and the conversations ongoing also at policy level to make sure that any next step that is taken includes not only is technology neutral, but is technology inclusive to achieve the goals that we want, that is bringing the meaningful connectivity everywhere.
Great. Thank you very much. And then just looking at the exciting technologies that I mean, satellite is one word, but it encompasses so much. It encompasses different orbits. It encompasses, you know, geostationary, non-geostationary constellations versus, you know, bulkier, fewer satellites. What is the role of HAPS, the high altitude platform stations, and especially for Europe? Do you think they will play a bigger role in the coming years? Would you like to go first?
Mike? Statement on that would be that, as I said, we are looking at a three-dimensional exploitation of deploying the network capabilities, and HAPS is part of the non-terrestrial networks. So when wisely 3GPP is not talking about satellite, it's talking about non-terrestrial networks, because we have multiple orbits on satellites and we have HAPS, and these are topics where you cannot necessarily split accurately what is this area, what is this? These are artificial distinctions. Of course, high altitude platforms are a bit different than satellites, but it's part of the context. And it's quite likely that HAPS would be using satellites for their communication. So
any
it
different,
fits in the full picture.
Any differing views or concurring?
So if I may, I think it's a if we have different technologies, if we have different innovative technologies that can provide or bring things to the table, we should welcome all of them. I think HAPS has been one exciting part of the ecosystem that has been innovating a lot. There's been things that have worked, things that have worked less, but I think it's part of what makes all of us thrive in technology is having new projects and new technologies, and as long as we can all work together. And I know that there's in a few years ago, and even now, Satellite has also interest and works with hubs companies. It's not, again, collaboration will be the key word if we want to do our own part of the puzzle.
Absolutely. And Thomas? No, great. Artis, any other questions online or indeed from the audience here?
Yes, there are two questions that we could address, but maybe there are some questions here in the audience. Please do raise your hand so that we can see you. All right. While you think of your question, we can attend to the written and sent in questions. So recently, the public broadcasting of Latvia portal, lsm.lv, wrote that Latvians are among the top consumers of internet when calculating the amount of data consumed by telecommunications customers. What has contributed to this metric and what practices should be highlighted from what Latvia is doing in the field of connectivity when looking from abroad?
That's a very specific question. I don't know if
we don't necessarily have somebody from Latvia.
Yes, indeed, we don't.
To address that.
I guess the abroad perspective is what the questionnaire is about. Any topics on that?
I don't mind just answering a little bit more general, but I think Latvia may be among the highest consumption of broadband. I think it's something that is a little bit also worldwide. The consumption of data and the demand of data, it's only growing. And I think precisely that's the reason that this collaboration or this seeing how to fulfill those demands comes into the industry side and comes to the countries, because they see the benefits of it. We want to connect also more verticals. We want to connect with hospitals, with education, or with schools. Teleworking has become quite a usual thing. All of that adds to the demand of data, and I think in Latvia, maybe the highest. I think other countries are following the same trend, and that's why we are here today.
Mm-hmm. And probably it's also an indication that you need more inclusion. So if you have a very high consumption of broadband data, it would mean that if there are some people in Latvia who do not have access to that, there's even more pressure to provide this to them. Mm-hmm. So,
we can also look at the audience poll that we published before this discussion. The question was, in your opinion, which aspect is most crucial for the success of satellite connectivity in the future? And the winner right now is seamless integration with terrestrial networks, followed by evolving technical standards, and in third place, evolving regulatory standards. Maybe some comments on that. Do you agree with this top three?
If I may take that, I fully agree with that, because from a user's perspective, the other two aspects are just side issues. Mm-hmm. And nobody's looking for a situation where there would be separating the connectivity coming from different areas. In the beginning, it might be like that, and you have some, let's say, fuzzy integration or scratchy integration, but it needs to become smoother and smoother until you have really something where you do not notice where your connectivity is coming from.
Mm-hmm. We have an audience question.
Hi there, Dean Bubbly from Disruptive Analysis. Do you envisage in those integrated scenarios there being a one-to-one partnership between a satellite operator and a single terrestrial MNO? Or are we going to find satellites that work with multiple MNOs, you know, as a sort of neutral host or maybe roaming partner type thing? Or because at the moment it's all very one-to-one rather than one-to-many relationships.
If I may take that one as the industry representative, I think it's a part of what we call innovation. I think business models will be part of that innovation happening. We have to start from somewhere and we will see how it evolves. I suppose it's one-to-one because there always has to be a first early bird and innovator. I don't know how the future will look like, but I think it will be also seeing the opportunities and the business models and what works better and how to fulfill those demands. So I don't have a direct answer of how the future is going to look like, but I really think it's going to be probably also an evolution of the business models, both for satellite and for the MNOs. and how to address better the demands from the consumers.
Speaking of the devolution, I mean, one specific example that comes to my mind is a partnership where you have an element that is neither a space company or neither an MNO, which if you look at if you look at the Apple Global Star partnership for direct to device, it's a company that is putting more than 90% of the financing in new infrastructure, and that is a new player in that kind of relationship, which I think again is something which is a positive trend for the role of space in this big picture.
Great, thank you very much. And as we approach the end of the panel, thank you so much for your thoughts, but I would like to pose one more question and maybe any last remarks, 30 seconds to 1 minute. What should be the topic as we reconvene in a year's time to 5G Territory? What should be the space and satellite topic of the discussions for next year? And I don't know if, Thomas, you want to go first.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I will bring the most attractive topic, but it's a regulatory topic, but it's not regulatory from the spectrum sharing point of view. But what I'm trying to bring here is that, you know, we feel that in the space sector, one of the problems that we are aware of is that because of the attractiveness of the technology to increasing amount of stakeholders, there is so much investment and so many new plans for stuff that is put in space, and I am myself even alarmed by the negative or dramatic reception in the in the broader media. If you say, you know, how all these things will crumble apart in the Earth orbit and everything will collide with each other, and I think there is certainly a risk that is growing and that is maybe a significant, and collectively there is a way how on the regulatory side there is a way to do. But to some extent I would even raise the point that if we are not putting too many negative thoughts of the problem in itself, which will not only be solved through regulation but through better situational awareness or through better knowing of where objects are and how can those objects coexist in such a way that that was also achievable in air transportation. 50 years ago, probably we could not have conceived airports that can take in and fly out 1,000 planes per day. But as technology and the way how this is managed evolved, I think this is something that also space will need to do. And I'm just worried about the fact that how, again, this issue is welcomed in the broader community, and if it is not doing a negative service to the whole space sector at large.
And of course, in a year's time, we will be discussing the EU space law because we will have the text from the Commission. So that will be a meaty topic. Zoës?
I think my expectation or my wish would be that we see a real application where this is working. So that there is an industry example where this seamless integration is introduced. Where we have a real example and a use case, and we see the value coming out of it, because this will be the proof point that what we are trying to build as capabilities is really providing benefits. This would be the pinnacle.
And I agree with my co-panelists very much. I think on the topic of the care of space, I mean, it's where we work. It's where we have our satellites. So indeed, there's a care and a relevance for us to make it safe and to make it safe for us, safe for the future. So there's no doubt on that. Indeed, I agree that in a year's time, seeing how the advances of the innovation of the satellite to device or satellite to anywhere or satellite everywhere and the integration with terrestrial networks, seeing all that happening little by little, I think is what we all want to see next year. And indeed, I would love to see also a panel that is not just 5G and 6G from the skies, but is 5G and 6G in general, that we can sit together with all the players and we can have these discussions and seeing the different steps that we have been taking in this last year together.
Great. Well, thank you so much to our panelists and thank you to the audience, both in the room and online. It's been a great discussion and I hope we all learned something useful and interesting, but thank you.